Radio is a very special medium.
There's a magic to radio that's like nothing else.
People are making breakthroughs.
I mean, the theme, I think, is brilliant. And every year, it should be World of Sound.
Profound and moving in a way that sneaks up on you.
It's just honest, and I think that comes across.
The Radio Academy Festival 2025 official podcast, brought to you by Rayo.
Hello and welcome to a Radio Academy Festival special for the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Adam Skin, and this is the third and final part of a three-part takeover where we celebrate and go through everything that happened at this year's Radio Festival. If you missed parts one and two, I'm not going to hold a grudge, but you can go back and listen to them at any time. Just search for the Radio Academy Festival on the Radio Academy podcast and you'll find episodes one and two waiting for you. Don't worry, you don't need to listen to them chronologically. There's no spoilers for the final episode, so you're more than welcome to go back and listen to them after this episode. So far on the podcast, we've spoken to Axel Cacoutier and Tony Phillips, Valerie Geller. We found out if the audio-only podcast is dead, which it's not, which is a good thing because, you know, we're here right now. And last week we heard from ARIA winners Monica Whitlock and Penny Murphy. We had our little Eurovision party where we heard from the BBC's Will Wilkin and the UK's Eurovision entry Remember Monday, as well as CEO of the Prison Radio Association, Phil Maguire, who was in conversation with Louis Theroux. And the amazing Izzy Brand managed to catch up with Louis just before he went on stage with Phil.
My name's Louis Theroux, and I'm a documentary maker. I work on television, BBC, but also other platforms, making programmes that explore sides of life that are in different ways controversial, psychologically complex, involving people whose choices may seem counterintuitive on the face of it. And I'm here today because one of my interests is prisons. I've made a couple of documentaries about prison life in America and jails, and I've also, in my private life, been a guest of Prison Radio in Brixton Prison. And so I'm interviewing Phil Maguire, who's involved in Prison Radio, about his work.
And a lot of people have come today to watch the talk, to hear what you've got to say. What would be the one thing that you'd want them to take away off the back of it?
I think I'd like them to get an insight into Prison Radio. And I think in general, the more we can kind of collapse that sort of feeling of otherness that that informs some of people's feelings about prison, the better. Like the idea that we forget or ignore people who've been convicted of crimes or involved in that, I think is mistaken, you know, and people's lives are touched on the outside, but even life for its own sake on the inside. The more we understand, the more we attempt to build bridges of understanding, I think the better. Because it's so easy to trade in headlines or knee-jerk reactions. It's easy to reach for the tabloid version, and life's more complicated than that.
And obviously, this is an important message to get out across anywhere, but specifically the people here today are within industry. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's an importance in creating that environment with people that are familiar with maybe music radio or sports radio, but aren't necessarily involved in talk radio?
I think it's important for, yeah, all sorts of backgrounds. And the other thing I'd say is, But radio is a very special medium. Podcasts, we say now, but I really put them all in the same group. It's audio-driven. It's experienced usually in an intimate setting through headphones or in a private space. It's a way of connecting with people, the audience with the broadcaster, the audience with each other. And in prison, like where people feel isolated, it's particularly important, I think, that you build a community. You know, so much in life, you know, you get wrinkles of misunderstanding or lack of communication, and the more we can inform that, and whatever the, you know, whether it's talk radio, sports radio, podcasts, long form interviews, which is what I do, all of that's part of the same project, which is about sharing understanding, building relationships through the audio medium.
Amazing. And the last thing I'd like to know is, you have an amazing back catalogue of achievements, and you speak to so many different people's stories and legacies. What's the one thing you'd like your legacy to be in 20 years?
In 20 years, what would I like my legacy to be? I mean, the corny answer, but it's true, is a happy family. I've got three boys. I'd like them to be doing well. I sometimes feel that if you're in the public eye, it's easy for your family to be in some way affected by that, in ways that are sometimes positive, but not always positive. I'd love them to just enjoy whatever they do. In terms of my career, my work, I'd love it if I'm still making programs, and I'd love it if I'm if my older programs are still being enjoyed. You know, that there is a sort of narcissistic quality to being involved in whether it's journalism or the arts, and I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of wanting to think of people watching my programs, you know, and people still watch some of my old programs now, programs I made 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So who knows, maybe in 25 years they'll still be watching some of them, or maybe we'll be, you know, the slaves of robots harvesting human tears.
And on that note, thank you very much.
Yay.
There we go, that was Louis Theroux on the Radio Academy podcast, Radio Festival Special. And it's time to go from one award winner to another, specifically an Emmy and BAFTA award-winning sound designer. We're taking another trip to the Dolby Library stage this year, where the amazing Ruth Cooper Dixon caught up with Nick Ryan and discussed the incredible piece of work that was being showcased in the Dolby Library throughout the day called Sonic Sunset.
Thank you for what an experience I've just been in. I can't believe it, in the Dolby Atmos Library. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about Sonic Sunset and how it came about?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a collaboration between myself and an amazing organisation based in New York called Max Media Art Exploration, which is run by the wonderful Kay Mashalat, who's here with us today. And they are an organisation that sort of specialises in live art collaborations between scientists and artists and technologists and artists. And really they're kind of spearheading this idea of communicating science through different means, through non-scientific means, and this is a good example of their work where they're sort of bridging this gap between scientific data and a much more emotional and palpable way of expressing the work of scientists. Our project, Sonic Sunset, is a collaboration between myself and us and three acoustic ecologists who study different ecosystems around the world from the point of view of their sound, and principally looking at how the sound of those ecosystems is changing as a result of human-made climate change and also other human effects such as industrialization and mining. So what we did was we collaborated with them. They gave us their incredible field recordings, audio recordings, which range from recordings taken from underneath the water in the Arctic Ocean to in the forests of Borneo to the skies of southern India. But they also gave us, crucially, their field notes, which for scientists working the field are sort of diaries. And they're very varied between scientist and scientist. Some of the field notes we received are very technical, and some of them are very emotional, much more sort of accounts of their feelings about the wild and their lives back home. And we set those to a libretto, which is delivered by a soprano called Eliza Bagg. And what she does is she reads these diaries, but she also sings them in the voices, sort of mimetically, the voices of the animals that we're talking about.
It's really powerful how you've brought science and music, creativity, acoustics together, the whole, you know, the singing, everything that's part of that, because I had my eyes closed for most of that session. And it's like visually you're seeing the scientists out in the field and, you know, on the boats and you know, in the forests. And it's incredible how your brain is capable of doing that. And I think also, as you said, for people who think, I don't really understand science, or I don't understand data, or I don't learn that way, to bring it to people the same way that we think, I'm not into classical music, or I'm not into different types of art. It kind of bridges, it's bridging both ways, isn't it?
I think it's that's something very particular about acoustic ecology, which is the study of the sound of the natural world. I can't think of another form of data. And they, by the way, call the sound recordings they capture data. I can't think of another form of scientific data that you can display on a graph, but you can also experience.
Mm.
So if you were to ask a climatologist to show you some weather, some sort of rainfall data, they would show you a graph with one axis showing level of rain and the other axis showing time. They wouldn't pour a bucket of water on your head to simulate the rain.
Yeah.
But that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're actually simulating
it. Yeah.
Well, we're not even simulating. We're actually displaying that data, but in a form that's immersive and sensory rather than cognitive. It's also cognitive on a level because you're listening to linguistics, you're listening to the voices of the animals and the scientists, but principally you're actually embedded within the sound worlds themselves and you're experiencing them firsthand in the same way that the scientists do. And I think as a means of communicating scientific knowledge and research, that's a very palpable way of communicating. It's direct and it's firsthand.
I've definitely learned something new about the acoustic ecology. I'd never heard of that before. So the power of the radio festival bringing that. How long did this project take? It feels like it must have been a lengthy project, was it?
Well, it's one of those projects that you don't set out knowing the full picture. So it's been iterative. And I've been working on it for a couple of years now and gradually kind of working with the scientists and listening through their recordings. I mean, some of their recordings are 3 months long. So that eats up quite a lot of time. But we kind of then developed the idea of having this narrator, both the voice of the planet, David Haskell, who is himself an acoustic ecologist and an author, but then Eliza Bagg, who sings and performs the sort of the voices of the animals. And that idea only emerged kind of halfway through. So it's gradually evolved into this sort of quite operatic piece. And there's a way to go still. We will accompany it with a visual component as well later on, which is going to be sort of partly animated, partly sensory in terms of sort of colour and light, rather than pictorial in terms of sort of Nat Geo shots, drone shots of the rainforest. It's going to be much more abstract than that, just to kind of stimulate your senses in a different domain. But really, as you said, you know, the pictures are best on radio. And if you deprive the other senses, or at least give them the ingredients with which the listener can kind of create their own picture, then what every listener creates is completely subjective to them.
It's unique to them.
Yeah.
And did I hear Steph say it's going to be in a museum next year? So are you taking it?
Yeah, so
the next journey for it?
Well, first we're taking it to New York next week, where it will be shown at the Museum of Moving Image, which is ironic because it's a sound piece. It's a film for the ears, but its ultimate destination and commissioner is the Boston Science Museum, who are constructing an amazing new space which will have an incredible sound system in it, and we're going to premiere it there. And what's amazing about that venue is it has a huge motorized curtain along one side of the auditorium, which we are thinking of raising very slowly over the last 5 minutes of the piece to reveal a city. So we will take you on this journey and then put you back into the sound world of our urban environment at the end.
Best of luck with the project, Nick. It's been absolutely incredible to listen to it today and be a part of that. So thank you for bringing it to the radio festival.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real privilege to be here. And amazing, I should mention, to have this incredible Dolby Atmos system. It is mixed in Dolby Atmos, and it is the kind of where sound comes from, as well as the timbre and the amplitude that really makes the difference between something that's immersive and something that's just, not immersive.
I love what Nick just said. And we've heard it quite a few times at the festival this year, that the pictures are best on the radio. I just find that really impactful. And sticking with impactful radio and audio, the theme at this year's festival was a world of sound. And there was one session that really hammered this home. Steve Taylor took the impact stage on a world tour of radio, stopping off at loads of different places along the way with different sound clips and stories from his time spent in these different countries. It was a cracking talk, and Tom Jackson caught up with him after the session to chat about a few of his favourites.
The theme of this year's Radio Academy Festival is World of Sound, and I couldn't think of a talk that fits that theme more perfectly than this. Steve Taylor from Bauer Media has taken us on a tour of radio stations around the globe, telling some incredible stories as well. So for those who weren't able to make it to the festival today, can you give us an idea of what the folks in the Impact Stage were treated to do today?
Yeah, I suppose it's my personal journey through radio, and it goes right back to when I was 7 years old. My gran bought me a transistor radio, and from that point onwards, I was hooked on our amazing medium of radio and audio, and I've always had a passion for travelling. So luckily, throughout my career, I've been able to blend the two together.
That sounds like an incredible way to have your career pan out. I mean, just all the different places you've been mentioning in that talk. Tell us about some of your favourite places you stopped off on the way.
I suppose one that always springs to mind was when I was growing up in Leeds, our my local radio station, Extended Broadcasting, which it used to close down at 10 p.m. back in those days, to cover the Falklands crisis unfold. I stayed up late listening to that, and I'd always had a fascination with his unusual British outpost 8,000 miles away in the South Atlantic. So that always made me want to go to the Falkland Islands. And when I was there, I met the station director of the local station, and he was telling me about what happened when the radio station was taken over during the invasion. And he gave me some amazingly powerful audio where you can hear the presenter's voice cracking as he's trying to broadcast when he's got a gun in his back.
Well, the situation, as you might hear, is that the radio station has now been taken over. We have three Argentine members.
We have everything recorded in two tapes.
We've been taken over, the radio station, as expected, by the Argentine invasion force. Sir, do you want to speak to the people?
Tell the people to wait, turning on their receivers. In some minutes, the chief is going to communicate them what we want for the population.
Well,
if
you take the gun out of my back, I'm going to transmit that to you. If you take the gun away. But I'm not speaking with a gun in my back.
I mean, that is something that truly leaves you speechless, listening to that kind of incredible audio. And when it comes to the stories that you've been able to learn and the role radio has played in the lives of people around the world, do you think enough kudos is given to radio? Because, I mean, it does so much for so many people.
Yeah, I mean, it's that thing during political instability, radio is often turned to get the message out. I talked about another example from Belgrade and Serbia, where this small, at the time, station called B92 played a part in the fall of a Milosevic government.
And these stories, I mean, they just keep coming. I mean, I came in, you were talking about the way radio played a role in the Chernobyl disaster as well. Like, these key historical events, radio always at the centre.
Yeah, absolutely. I also talked about another example, which is a harrowing example of radio as a powerful medium, but not in a good way. The way that a radio station was set up in Rwanda, called the Thousand Hills Radio, which was designed to broadcast propaganda and led to the assassination of estimated 70% of the Tutsi population in Rwanda, which is all explained in Kigali in the Rwandan Genocide Museum.
And these stories, we've already covered so many. I think, have we covered all the continents so far? I mean, what's the furthest this career has taken you? Where's the most remote outpost, the most bizarre location you found a radio station?
Well, I suppose the most remote was the Falkland Islands, but probably the furthest away was Australia. And I was lucky to spend a year living in Australia around 30 years ago. And then that was a time where you can just learn about how radio works in different markets and bring it back to the UK.
And finally, to round off, what is it that fuels your fascination for radio? You mentioned it started at 7 years old, still going strong today. What is it that keeps that interest going?
I don't know. I've just always had it. I'm 57 now, and I just feel privileged to have been able to make a career and to be accepted into the radio industry and into our wonderful family, and long may it continue.
And a massive thank you to Bowers Steve Taylor for taking us on a cracking radio tour of the world. Now I think it's time for one last trip back to the festival stage this year, where Virgin Radio's Ben Jones had a chat with the amazing Christian O'Connell in a talk entitled From Number One to No One. It sounds harsh. When I first read it, I thought, oof, that is harsh. But it's such an incredible chat. They talk about how Christian went from an award-winning radio show here in the UK to Australia, and the vulnerability of not knowing anyone or anything about the culture and having to adapt to make it work. It's an unbelievable chat, and I've got a small snippet of it for you now.
I didn't really think about how hard it was going to be to come to the other side of the world. I thought, well, they speak English, I'll be fine. They'd love a charming Englishman. And suddenly all they heard was difference. The accent was different. Yeah. And then it was like, you didn't grow up with us. You don't know about our TV shows. You don't know about our sport. And they were right. And so everything that you just take for granted in UK radio, all the shorthand you have with an audience, that shared history, I didn't have it. And so it was this radical, it was like a crucible. Everything got burnt away. But then what was beautiful about it was what remained was the most important part of being in connection with people, which is what radio is. And actually, we can overcomplicate it. And so it really became this kind of radical grounding into what is the important thing. How are you going to find a way to connect? Otherwise, it would have been fired. And then it was moving my family back to the UK and all of that. So I had to find a way. And so it was really reminding myself what's undeniable. And for me, it was like storytelling and working out. If I'm telling a story, I made sure I understood, yes, it's personal to me, but what are the universal bits in this story and connect through my stories? And so I talked about moving here, trying to build this radio show. I read out all the hate emails as well, because people then started to feel sorry for me. They were like, actually, it takes a little courage. You know, he's in his mid-40s as a what then. He's moved out here with his daughters and his wife. They start to see me not as some concept, like an English guy taking our jobs. They saw me as a human being. And I was being funny about everything. I just talked about it all on air, because actually there's no connection without vulnerability. And so I remember actually at the end of the second week on air, my wife, women make friends really easily. Men, middle-aged men don't. Yeah, and yeah. She was like going out with some friends that she'd met just walking the dog. And I suddenly realized I've got no friends. And I was like, how do you even get friends when you're in your mid-40s and you're an English guy in it where you didn't grow up? And so I remember even like talking on air, like, it's really strange. We've got no listeners. I've got no mates. This has to get better. This is the worst midlife crisis in the world. It'd been easier to have an affair or just buy a Porsche or Harley Davidson. So it was a really, I can look back now because I'm the other side of it, but at the time it was just everything was hard. The last 7 years have been crazy, you know. And it's interesting to talk about it because you're right, all that success in the UK, suddenly no one get it.
The vulnerability definitely comes into it. And if you touch on a subject that people connect with, it's just honest. And I think that comes across, and it obviously worked. None of us like being vulnerable, but we all are at sometimes, and whether it's public or not, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to show vulnerability, and I think listeners do connect with it.
As you can hear, it was such an incredible session, and if you fancy watching the whole 30-minute chat now, you can. Just go over to the members section of the Radio Academy website, and it's all available for you there. As it's the final episode, I thought we'd go around all four stages for one last time and speak with the stage hosts about how they thought this year's festival had gone. First, our lovely Ruth Cooper-Dixon caught up with the lovely Steph Hurst, and they'd become besties throughout the day, all because of their shiny, glittery trainers.
Steph Hurst, I feel you've been a very busy woman today.
Today's been absolutely crazy, but do you know what? I thrive, Ruth, off being just busy, and I think that's the thing that keeps me going. So I never seem to stop. Sometimes I'll count the hours in the day, and I've done like a 16, 17-hour day. I'm like, Steph, go to bed. You need sleep.
A woman after my own heart.
Oh, gosh, I never seem to stop, but today has just been, it's been phenomenal. And the energy around the festival, I think this is probably my 9th festival, or maybe 10th festival. And it's always great to be back here at the Royal College of Physicians in Regent's Park. Just walking past some
it's
of the
very glam, isn't it?
So walking past some of the properties. And I saw some old photos of this building as well. I think it's built in the 1960s. It's just incredible. See, I'm geeking out about buildings now and architecture, which is another pastime of mine. But today has just been phenomenal. And the energy and seeing all these colleagues and people who have come to the festival for the first time as well. It's been their fair. And everyone's just been saying,
it's my first time.
Is it? Mm. And how's it been for you? I'm turning the tables.
Yeah. No, I've. You know what? Like you said, the energy.
Yeah.
People are so lovely. So welcoming. It doesn't matter where you're from in radio or audio, like everyone's really chatty, has time for you. I've learned a lot in a day as well. Like my brain, I think the minute I get home, on the train home.
Oh, and you're about to get fed and watered as well, thanks to PRS and PPL for music as well. The pizza is amazing.
What's been one of your heart? I know you haven't been to everything.
Well, I've been hosting the Dolby Room, working with Dolby Atmos. So if you think your 5.1 sounds good at home, this was just incredible. 7.4.1, I think. I've been saying it all day, but you know when you've said it so much, your brain gets a bit fuddled. That was incredible. And also, we were working with Wise Buddha using immersive audio to bring audio to life with a unique sonic story. It's like a mini movie for your ears that celebrates the beauty and power of sound and sonic branding. Also, psychologist Dr. Sean Williams from BBC Radio 3.
That was a great talk.
That was good with neuroscientist Catherine Loveday. That was a really, really powerful session. But I guess the real standout thing was the exclusive world preview of Sonic Sunset by Emmy and BAFTA award-winning sound designer Nick Ryan, and media art exploration as well, which shows the impact of climate change on the sound of our natural world. And all of this mixed by Dolby Atmos. It was just, honestly, it was a day I won't forget in a hurry.
I interviewed Nick and I proper geeked out with him. And I think we were all just chatting for ages. I was so,
and Kane, the designer, that. It was just wow. Phenomenal. And there was a part towards where there was some forest fires, and you could hear the animals and the trauma in how they were expressing themselves in pain. It was
and I had a tear at that point.
I did, as a major animal lover. Really well. So that was powerful.
You just closed the festival stage.
Yeah, with some important news that from January we're becoming the Audio Academy, which I think we've always, with the Radio Academy throughout the history of radio, I think we've always tried to, you know, be first and look forward. And I think this opens up a whole world of opportunities. And the fact is, you know, the world is audio obsessed. It is. So we're just reflecting that. And if anyone's listening and you've never been to the radio festival, please do come. Get your tickets for next year, because it's a day. And also, if you're just starting out in the industry, it's a really good place to work. They talk about working the room and kicking the door open. I've passed my email address on to numerous people today who I'll go on to have Teams or Zoom chats with. It's about kicking that door open, and people did that for me. I got in this industry when I was 12 making tea and on air at 16, but people kicked that door open. So it's really important that we who are in the industry kick that door open for future generations.
I can testify to that, because I've only been in the industry a year, and today I've had so many conversations, met people like yourself, and just like you say, email addresses, drop
and
me a message.
Bonded over trainers.
We're radio besties now, that's it.
Yeah, you've got pink sparkly trainers on, I've got gold sparkly trainers on.
See, I told you it's because of the trainers. And very big news that the Radio Academy will be becoming the Audio Academy as of January. Now we're going to hear from the hosts of the festival stage and the impact stage with Absolute's Dan Noble, but first, Radio 1's Jack Saunders.
Hi, I'm Jack Saunders from Radio 1. I've been hosting the main stage here at the Radio Academy Festival. There have been an endless amount of amazing, amazing talks, but I actually think my favourite one was the first talk of the day on the main stage. It was the Black Voices Matter talk, and it blew me away how they managed to weave in the really sad and heartbreaking loss of George Floyd into a session all about the importance of communicating and communicating clearly, but also listening, and how that intertwines with Black Voices into kind of everyday broadcasting. It was seriously, seriously good. So yeah, that was definitely my highlight.
And how important are days like these for the radio industry?
Hugely important. I've been saying to the guys throughout the whole entire day, when you get into this industry, you just start working it, because it's what you've always wanted to do, and you just never let up. But you forget sometimes that actually it's even more important to continue to learn and continue to absorb and stay in touch with this kind of ever-changing industry. So yeah, I'd actually forgotten that, and being back here hosting on the main stage has just kind of reignited and made me realize how important that is.
Hi, I'm Dan Noble. I'm a radio presenter at Absolute Radio. Today I have been presenting and hosting on the impact stage here at the Radio Festival.
Amazing. And tell me who you've seen today. What have you been hosting?
We've seen a lot today. There's been lots of talks. There's been some really interesting talks on kind of the future of audio and AI and how it works together, and playlists, comparing playlists made by people and playlists made by AI as well. Lots of AI chat today. Had a really great chat with the brilliant Lady Unchained, who's a fantastic poet, and we were talking about the history of the first black broadcaster at the BBC back in 1941. That was really fascinating. We just ended the stage with a celebration, 75 years of the Archers. So it's been kind of a real bit of everything at the Impact stage. It's been really great fun. And I'm looking forward to having a cup of tea.
Amazing. And just give me your one highlight of the day.
My one highlight of the day was Steve Taylor, who anyone who's worked with him will know as Tetley, doing his talk about radio around the world. He was talking about the time he was in a van travelling around Australia, and he said the phrase, I don't know which was camper, me or the van, and I think that's got to be my highlight.
And just to finish, how important are events like these?
These events are amazing. When I was working my way in to get into the industry, I wasn't completely familiar with these type of things, but since working at Absolute, I've got involved with a few of these and the Foot in the Door events as well, and it's just amazing. It's a great way to network and meet people. It's great to meet people who are passionate about audio, and we can all learn something from it. So yeah, and it's great fun.
And finally, we've got Lady Unchained, who's hosting on the Aria stage with Niamh Spencer. Now, Lady Unchained had written a poem reflecting back on the day of festival, and it's pretty incredible.
I am Lady Unchained, poet and advocate for life after prison, an award-winning broadcaster for National Prison Radio, and the founder and creative director of Becoming Unchained, an artistic platform for artists with lived experience of the criminal justice system. This is my wrap-up of the festival. From national disasters to comedy and sports, prisoners turning into award-winning broadcasters, today we celebrate the power of audio, the challenges that create positive change, the listeners who love and question us along the way, making and helping us become better researchers, broadcasters and producers, seeing ourselves in each guest, each story we cover, and sometimes carrying those memories even after we put down the mic. So continue telling those stories, running to those disasters and showing the realities of our connections, telling what can sometimes be the most heartbreaking stories and somehow still remembering to smile. You are the light in the darkest moments, the joy on those sad days, and the voice someone needs to hear to keep going. You are our audio heroes.
And all that's left to say is a massive thank you. If you came to festival, I hope you had the most amazing time. It was a brilliant event this year, and I'm sure we'll see you again at next year's festival. I just want to say a massive thank you to my amazing crew of Tom Jackson, Ruth Cooper-Dixon and Izzy Brand for being absolute legends throughout the day. Couldn't have done it without you guys. Absolute troopers. Next week, Georgie will be back on the podcast with you, so make sure to keep tuned. And if you missed episodes 1 and 2 of our radio festival coverage, definitely go back and listen to them now. I've been Adam Skin, and thank you so much for listening to the Radio Academy Festival Takeover coverage on the Radio Academy podcast. It's been great, and I'm sure we'll see you next year. Our next Foot in the Door event is at the University of Sunderland on the 15th of October. Join us on the day to find out more about breaking into the audio industry and networking with industry leaders. To book a place, go to radioacademy.org. That's radioacademy.org. And we'll see you there.
The Radio Academy Festival 2025 official podcast. Brought to you by Rayo.